Weighing on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. In Waukesha on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. And statewide on Civic Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And I'll tell you what, I have identified in my show over many months and years what I think are some of the most important issues facing us when you get below all the white noise. That includes the attack on our democracy, which is ongoing from the Republican Party, which is going to come to a head in this North Carolina case that they're going to hear, the Supreme Court's going to hear in October. And I've mentioned the attack on our Constitution by various states calling for a constitutional convention under the Constitution to rewrite everything that Alexander Hamilton, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, James Madison, John Jay all did. All these are very, very important. But the greatest economic threat of the Republican Party, and you've got to understand this, is the ongoing attempt through various wiles and mechanisms to eliminate Social Security and Medicaid. And, you know, in the past, people yawn and they go, nobody could ever do that. Nobody could ever do that. Well, Ron Johnson just launched a new attack you've got to pay attention to, because if he gets reelected, he's going to go forward with this and try to. And if Moscow Mitch becomes the majority leader, God forbid, they will get it through, especially, obviously, Biden would veto what I'm about to say, but they would get it through if they had a Republican president, if Trump got back in, or DeSantis. Here's what he did. Ron Johnson yesterday called for Medicare, and Social Security. They should be subjected to annual budget deliberations. In other words, altering and possibly really substantially altering or someday eliminating what have been guaranteed benefits. Here's the concept you've got to understand. In our budget, there are amounts that are called discretionary spending and mandatory spending. Now, mandatory spending are Medicare and Social Security and a few other things. What that means is that you, when you retire, when you turn 65, for instance, with Medicare, you are signed up and Medicare pays your medical bills. They have a reimbursement table. Doctors know what it is. That's what they'll pay. And it's unrelated to any budget negotiations. You get Social Security. Let's say you take it early at 62. You should stay hold off as long as you can, because it goes up the equivalent of 8% a year, which you're not going to get in the private market. But let's say you take it at 65. Let's say you're going to get $1,500 a month. Let's say $2,000 a month. Let's say $2,000 a month. Okay, you get $2,000 a month. You know you're going to get that at least for the rest of your life. If the cost of living goes above a certain amount, you're going to get an increase, and you'll get that for the rest of your life. You can count on it. Before Franklin Roosevelt came along, before Medicare was passed in 1935, and the Republicans opposed it back then. They said it would bankrupt the country. Even though people pay into Medicare, and most people, a lot of people are going to pay in more than they actually get out. It's a brilliant idea. It was based on a German plan that goes to Otto von Bismarck in the 1880s in Germany. This was the idea of a pension for older people so they didn't starve. But Otto von Bismarck said, you'll get it when you're 65. And in Germany, in the 1880s, your life expectancy was about 55. It'd be as if we sit the age now at 85 or 95. In any event, whatever. What Ron Johnson, his new attack, and he's not alone, this is supported by a lot of other Republican senators, is don't guarantee Social Security or Medicare. Every year, we'll do a budget review. Every year, what's going to happen with this budget review is we are going to, first of all, have a tax cut. Remember, they cut it by $1 trillion for corporations. What's left over, we'll pay for defense. We have to. That's $790 billion. And whatever is left over after that, it won't be mandatory. It won't be guaranteed. It'll be discretionary. We'll put some of that to Medicare and Social Security. So instead of getting $2,000 a month, you may get $800 a month. And instead of having a table of reimbursable medical expenses, they'll say, well, okay, you had to have your appendix out, or you had breast cancer and you had to have a mastectomy, and you've been charged $40,000, we'll pay $3,000, and you're on your own for the rest. That's what Ron Johnson is proposing. If Mandela Barnes is the nominee and does nothing else, this has to be a centerpiece of his campaign. All jury trials, and remember something, an election is nothing more than a jury trial to 340 million jurors. You can't load it up with too many extraneous things. There has to be a theme. The theme for the Democrats in Wisconsin against Ron Johnson is very, very stark. Do you want Medicare and Social Security continue to be mandatory? Guaranteed. People are paying into these things, a lot of money into these things. Or do you want the Republicans to be able to shuffle it around and make it discretionary, take some of Social Security and Medicare money for tax cuts, and then dole it out on a partial basis, which means that over the decades, it'll disappear. I'll tell you, when Franklin Roosevelt had it passed in 1935, before he was elected in 1932, and there was a depression, there were folks who were living, who truly were not getting anything to eat. They'd line up for soup kitchens. My dad wrote a novel in which he reminisced about his childhood in New York City, where he grew up. And his father had a civil service job, so they had an income during the Depression. But there was a guy who called himself the Meistersinger. And every couple of days, he'd come into the courtyard of their apartment building, and he'd start singing. He'd sing songs. He had a good voice. And then he'd shout up. People put their head out of the window, and he'd shout up, I'm a man with no job and a wife and three children. We don't have enough food. Share some of yours with me. And people would throw down coins. I mean, that's the kind of thing that went on. In a rural areas, they line up for soup kitchens, and that's all they have. Franklin Roosevelt took the idea from Otto von Bismarck, and he goes, well, maybe it'd be a good idea if people paid in when they had jobs, and then that money was used to give them some kind of a pension. And, you know, it started out, you get very little money, but now with the Social Security Fund, you know what you get. If you're 65 or older, or actually 62 or older if you took it early, or you're 65 or older and need medical care, you know what you get. You depend on it. You may wish it was more. Your rent. You can get some kind of food. You can get some kind of food. But I'll tell you what, under Ron Johnson, that would be discretionary, not mandatory. It would not be mandatory. We go to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Mark from the SAC?
Yeah, that's something I've been hammering on, is the Republicans, they hate Social Security. I mean, it's not just Ron Johnson, it's Rick Scott of Florida. I mean, it just galls me that these guys who have more money than Crocius that are worried about, you know, the rest of us actually having, you know, two pennies to rub together, that and trying to take away from us. I mean, and Mitt Romney for some of the positive things he's done. I mean, he was a man who went in, you know, part of the vulture capitalists that would go into companies, loot the pensions, and then sell off the company, and then people would be left, you know, people who worked for those companies wouldn't have their pension anymore because they'd take those away from us as well. I mean, that these are the same guys. They want to rewrite our Constitution. They want to, you know, dump the sage advice of our founding fathers, who admitted when they wrote in the Federalist Papers that they didn't know everything, that there's going to be occasional need for amendments, but we don't need to rewrite the whole thing because these guys are enemies to the Republic. I mean, as Hamilton closes out in his last Federalist Paper, they're enemies of a national government in every possible shape. They don't believe in a national government. They believe in a nation state for just defensive purposes only, and defend their wealth and defend their mansions against, you know, if there's a peasant revolt that they need to get suppressed, because these guys view us all as just peasants, and they give lip service to freedom, 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 but they don't really believe in it. I mean, that they want to have a theocratic, you know, that a theocratic state. I mean, and it is just it's scary because people don't seem to be really aware of it, and if they are, they're willing to, you know, surrender that for. I don't know why they're willing to surrender it. I mean, I don't understand, because Social Security saved, you know, my family back in the 70s when my father, early 70s, my father was severely injured before he was able to go back to work. I mean, as far as for the Great Depression, my grandfather moved packed up my mother and my dad and my infant dad and my, you know, 3-year-old aunt and moved her to the shores of Lake Superior. That they're in a depression.
Right. Well, you know, you're making an excellent point, Mark.
Yep.
And the truth of the matter is, this is very, very serious. Ron Johnson's on the ballot. He has said he will put in a bill to make Medicare and Social Security discretionary, not mandatory. That is toxic. And if people don't wake up to that, that could very well be put into law. We're going to a break. We have a little time. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Matt, thank you for your service to our country, first of all. Do senators pay anything for their health insurance? And do senators pay anything into Social Security?
The Summer of Love 2.0 Boosted Boogaloo continues with another summer rager at Hawk's Bar and Grill on State Street. Hawk's original neighborhood bar is now celebrating 20 years in business. Tuesday, August 2nd, join the Devil's Advocates for a live broadcast and party to follow at Hawk's 425 State Street. Feel the love, meet the guest, and party with the Devil's Advocates and all the friends of the Devils. Boosted Boogaloo, Summer of Love 2.0, party at Hawk's Tuesday, August 2nd. Be there.
Hey, it's Pizza Box Mike. I've got a show outside the Pizza Box. Be sure to listen on Saturdays at noon on Devil Radio. Some of us, you know, were meant to run for public office, and some of us were meant to run others out. That's the side I come from.
Hey there, my name is Kirk Bankstad, and I own the Monaco Brewing Company. I teamed up with Pat Kreitlow, the managing director of Up North News, to create the Up North Podcast. We're going to talk about Wisconsin news and culture through the eyes of northern Wisconsinites, but also through our progressive viewpoints in the heart of one of the reddest parts of our state. We'll be doing our show live on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM on Wednesday nights at 7. And you can check out the podcast at upnorthpodcast.com.
Social media? You've kept up with the times. If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org, and in just 3 minutes, you'll get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The radio show your mother warned you about.
Actual tyranny of a dictator. Dictator's going to dictate Putin. And what did Trump do? Trump kneeled to the man. Embarrassing Republicans, and you're still with the guy? This is your front runner in 2024? Are you even smoking some of Mike Lindell's crack? What are you thinking?
They're the GCCCP. We are the Devil's Advocates.
Live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6. The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the attack on elections of the Republican Party has descended to unbelievable pettiness. I'm going to tell you a story out of Maricopa County, Arizona, which is Phoenix. This is unbelievable. This is how sad and shoddy and low rent the Republican attacks on democracy are. Down there, they have, it would be the equivalent of corporation counsel, an attorney from Maricopa County named Rachel Mitchell. She just wrote a warning letter to a candidate named Gail Golick, who's a candidate for county supervisor of Maricopa County. And Gail Golick sounds like an absolute Trumper, big lie Trumper. And this warning letter from the equivalent of the Corporation Council warned Gail Golick to drop her social media posts where she was urging voters to steal pens from election places, not use them, and instead use ink pens. The significance of that is the pens that are provided by Maricopa County for their voting cards are fast-drying ink pens that are easily processed by the machine. This candidate is urging people to steal them, leave with them, and use ink pens. Ink pens, wet ink, harms the machine. So you go in after one of these characters, and there's no pen there. Then you ask for another pen that holds everybody up, or you pull out your own pen, and it screws up the machine. Frankly, I think that is a solicitation to vandalism. I think the district attorney in Maricopa County should charge that candidate for doing that. But can you believe how petty, I mean, truly petty, these little kind of sneaky little attempts to throw sand in the gears of an election? You know, it's not just January 6th. It's not just Trump. This is boiled down to absolute vandalism. Beyond belief. We're going to the lines. Robert of West Allis, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, A. Wallace? Robert?
Good morning. Winning is so important to them. They really don't care how they do it. So complete lack of integrity, ethics, any sense of right and wrong. So you really wonder, you know, were these people just not brought up correctly? Were they not raised right? Or is it, you know, decades of lies and disinformation pumped into their head that got them so warped. What I wanted to say was I was really surprised. I saw an interview that Joe Manchin did, of all people, on Fox News. And the woman interviewing him was just lying left and right. So basically the Republicans on the Joint Tax Committee said that, you know, the latest bill was going to increase taxes on people under $400,000 a year and was going to, basically, the thought was that businesses pay their 15% tax rate. It's really going to be a tax on lower income people because they're going to pass that on to the consumers. I think that's really a stretch. None of the Democrats on the committee were involved with that statement at all. So it's pretty much pure fabrication, purely made up. And it was so nice to see Manchin on Fox basically telling the woman, stop lying, it's not true. You know, she was commenting on, well, they say this, and they said, well, that's just an outright lie. You know, and I think at times Democrats don't want to get in the gutter with these people. They think they're above it all. The problem is, you know, if you don't correct these falsehoods and they say it enough, eventually, reality or not, you know, as Steve Bannon says, they like to flood the zone with their nonsense and their lies and their misinformation. So we need more people like that, not Manchin, so to speak, in terms of the legislation they stop, but more correcting people on Fox. Pete Buttigieg is another one that does a really good job of it. And they need to not be afraid to go on there. John Stewart's done the same thing recently with the Veterans Bill. So we have to correct them at every turn and really point out the difference between what one side's offering for the American people versus the other side. And I think some politicians, they're afraid to go on there and have that argument and have that fight and correct them. But, I mean, I really think that's what we need to do. If we're not going to take them off the air and these networks are going to be allowed to stay on, regardless of how much they misinform the public, we need people to go over there and just correct the record on things. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. And, yeah, I am familiar with that interview. And Manchin, I think that's the one where he asked the question. He said to her, you know, are you concerned or objecting because this might help the American people? I mean, that's exactly right. They don't, anything that looks like a win for Biden or the Democrats, they will oppose, even if it means injuring the United States. That is what is so pathetic and sad about this. And now you still have Sinema down there on this bill, though, Robert, in Arizona. And she's been quite cagey. Manchin's working on her, apparently. But, you know, that theory that somehow it'll be bad for lower income people is the Republicans always say that any tax paid by a corporation, they say, will be passed on. But if the corporation doesn't have a monopoly, no, it doesn't get passed on. It's just flat out lie. And I'm glad you called them on it. We're going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Off to my right, I see five mounted cowboys. Off to my left, right, a dozen or more.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Great development with Nancy Pelosi in Taiwan. She was magnificent. China kept threatening her, kept threatening the United States, and she said, Pelosi stood up to him, flew in, landed in Taipei, and she is in Taiwan. The Chinese said there will be terrible escalation, just like the Russians did back in Ukraine in January and February. In retrospect, if we had put in a no-fly zone and just warned Russia to stand down, they're weak, they have a worthless culture, they've killed all their intellectuals for the last 100 years, and I think they would have stood down. But Biden in Russia is faced with a terrible dilemma. Germany and France wouldn't go along with that, and they would not have agreed to economic sanctions. And Cruz, Tucker Carlson, Republican Party kept stabbing Joe in the back. Trump was pro-Putin, for instance. Trump said that Putin was a genius for invading, getting all that real estate for $2 in sanctions, quote, unquote. Crooked Mike Pompeo said he respected Putin. So Biden did what he had to do. He got the West united against Russia, given them substantial arms, and he's kept the Republican traitor stabbing him in the back at bay. In China, China once again pulled the same Russian thing. You know, I don't know, we may attack. She said, good luck. We are the number one economy in the world. We are the number one military in the world. We have the best constitution. We're the most open society. Everybody in your country is doing their best to scramble away into our country. And she went anyway. Now, what did she say? She said, we must honor America's unwavering commitment to supporting Taiwan's total democracy. She said, our discussion with Taiwan leadership we'll focus on reaffirming our support for our partners and on prioritizing our shared interests, including advocacy and freedom, including advancing freedom. She said, America's solidarity with the 23 million people of Taiwan is more important today than ever, as the world faces a choice between autocracy and democracy. And what did China do? They backed down. First of all, they piled tanks on a beach across from an island opposite Taiwan. What many people don't realize is Taiwan is only 100 miles from the Chinese mainland. That's roughly the distance, roughly, it's a little more, Florida to Cuba. And there's an island that Taiwan owns that's 10 miles from the Chinese mainland. Now, 10 miles. I mean, at sea, with a clear horizon, you can see for 15 miles, so you can see this thing. By the way, you go to Northern Ireland, you go to Belfast, and you can look out and see Scotland, believe it or not. In any event, 10 miles, you know, we have islands off the United States 10 miles away. And we have got to keep standing up for Taiwan and for democracy over autocracy. So what do they do? They go, oh, we're going to be tough. They pile tanks. All right. Then they do live fire drills. They do them in their own territory. Go ahead. You can do whatever you want in your own territory. My favorite piece of impotence is that they just blocked temporarily imports from Taiwan of citrus and fish. Citrus and fish, really. Okay. Well, that is because they steal fish from Philippine and Vietnam waters, claiming that it is theirs. The Filipinos took them to the world court, got a judgment against them. They said, drop dead to the world court, and they still steal fish from other people's territorial waters. This is the kind of country it is. What was really going on with their opposition to Nancy Pelosi's going there is because Xi of China is in trouble. You got to know something about Xi of China. There is a police bureau of over 300 people, and unlike the emperor, you know, they were ruled by an emperor for about 5,000 years. And the emperor was God. They worshiped the guy. I'm not kidding. They flat out worshiped the guy. Couldn't look at him. If he came down the street, you had to throw yourself on your belly and grind your eyes into the dust and not look at the guy. In any event, the modern Chinese communist leader is like an emperor, except that he has 300 people who are themselves all thieves and murderers who would like to take his place and steal his action. And right now, China is suffering, on the way to suffering, a recession. Certainly a diminution in economic output. They have almost 1.5 billion people. They got to feed them and they got to employ them. They don't want to get into a fight with the United States. And Xi doesn't want to someday find himself on the wrong end of a rope. Plenty of guys there would like to put Xi on the wrong end of a rope. So Xi is trying to look tough, and he can't lose face, and Nancy Pelosi stuck it to him. Xi, by the way, his father was abused by the Red Guard in the 60s. These were these kids under Mao Zedong. They got all riled up. They arrested their own professors, businessmen, created them in dunce caps down the street, sent them into rural areas to do forced labor. Xi's father was one of those. Then Xi tried to suck up to them, and he was ostracized and he was mistreated. But he is a classic suck. He is worse than Lindsey Graham. He is worse than Ted Cruz. He'll suck up to anything. And he sucked up so long for so many years, he came up on top. But he sees that it is possible he's going to go down. But good for Nancy Pelosi. God bless you, Nancy Pelosi. She stood there in Taiwan, and said, we must honor America's unwavering commitment to supporting Taiwan's democracy. She said, America's solidarity with the 23 million people of Taiwan is more important today than ever, as the world faces a choice between autocracy and democracy. And all Xi did was cut off, what, pineapples and fish, which he steals anyway. They issued a statement saying, quote, we are fully prepared for any eventuality. We'll fight upon order. We'll bury every intruder. and move towards joint and successful operations. And by the way, we can steal enough fish that we can cut off Taiwan's. You know, there should be a one China. You know something? It should be under Taiwan. It should be a democratic China. Communists keep saying, oh, well, we should have one China under No. Yeah, one China. They're all Han Chinese. They speak Mandarin. They should be democratic. They should be peaceful, law-abiding, and free. One of the lines, Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for going Western Mind today, Bill. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend.
Can you hear me okay?
You sure can, Bill. Yeah, hello? What's on your mind today?
Okay, thanks for the education on China. I really appreciate what you told me. I didn't know all of that. But on China, what's really interesting is Nancy Pelosi, by her backbone and her fortitude, is bringing our country together because the Republicans are supporting us. And any time we can get this across-the-aisle support, we're getting something done. Liz and Adam are doing the same thing. Democrats are supporting Republicans on it. That's what this country is built on. The two parties at times working together for the solidifying our country. On the primaries last night, Trump seemed to carry it, but that's a double-edged sword. For people who are dismayed on that, remember, the Republican Party is starting to eat their young. They're in turmoil, and they don't know which way is up. They don't know if they're on a horseback, side saddle, or underneath the horse. They are struggling. I think a Trump win is, this sounds crazy, is good for us because there's no way that clown is going to be elected. The second thing is, if they don't indict him and convict him and give him a jail sentence, it probably will be, you know, removed. We are just allowing, that was a practice run for the next real deal. So I'm going to hang up. I just want to give me my thoughts. I want to hear what yours are. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bill. Very, very good comments. And yeah, I'll tell you what, I think the world of Nancy, Liz, and Adam, those three people, Nancy Pelosi, Liz Cheney, and Adam Kinzinger, two of the Republicans, one are Democrat, but they have huge integrity and leadership. And I think you're right. I think that underneath the surface of these disputes, there is leadership in both parties that is coming together on matters that really affect us. And some of the outliers that you see in the Democratic, but mostly the Republican Party right now under Trump, are being rejected. I mean, they just flat out are being rejected. The Trump victories, by the way, were largely in Arizona. He knocked off Rusty Bowers. He brought in Carrie Lake, Blake Masters to be nominees. But they're facing people like Mark Kelly in the Senate. And Blake Masters is the guy that said that the January 6th insurrection was done by the FBI, and they were FBI agents, these guys. That's false. And when it comes to gun violence, he says it's the fault of, quote, black people, end quote. That is gasoline on a fire. It's also very false, very false. I mean, you look at Buffalo and you look at a lot of these places. So, I'll simply say that just because Trump, you know, maneuvered his way into the Republican Party in Arizona doesn't mean that he's going to have sway over the entire state. And then elsewhere, you know, we're still waiting to hear about Jaime Herrera Butler out in Washington. But John Fetterman is 9 points ahead of Mehmet Oz. And in Georgia, another Trump-endorsed candidate, which is Herschel Walker, is 4 points behind Raphael Warnock. So I think that that's some very, very excellent comments. Trump is also, two quick things I want to throw in. Trump's August 20 rally at the Panther Arena at 400 West Kilbourne, postponed, he said, i.e. canceled. They couldn't sell the tickets. They only had 5,000 seats. Tickets were $39, unless you want to sit in the, quote, presidential section, which is $3,900. And they just canceled it. They canceled it. They couldn't sell even a minimum number of seats. They say they postponed it. They say they postponed it. So no need to go down there. He's not coming. He is coming for Michaels on August 5th. in Waukesha. Going to break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
As the snow flies.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, we were talking about Trump interfering in elections with endorsements. Arizona, Missouri, Michigan, state of Washington, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and elsewhere. He's interfered here. He's endorsed in the governor race, Michaels. Well, he's come out with another endorsement. Just yesterday, he endorsed Voss, Robin Voss's opponent, Adam Steen. Now, this is beyond pathetic, okay? Beyond pathetic. Robin Voss has done everything he can to suck up to Trump. He hired Gableman. Gableman committed misconduct in court. Two judges fined him, imposed sanctions, attorney's fees, over $250,000 total. It's going to be paid by the taxpayers, you. You are the taxpayer, so am I. He also, we've spent over $1 million out of taxpayer money. Republican judges said that the Republican, gerrymandered Republicans just put their hand in the old weasel sack, pull out cash, all to placate Trump. Look for fraud. There was no fraud. Try to throw the mayors of Green Bay and Madison in jail. Not agreeing to a secret deposition as opposed to a public one in front of a legislative committee. $450 an hour. Do you make that much money? $450 an hour going to the lawyer for Gableman? $450, you're paying it. You're paying it. If you paid $900 in state taxes last year, that's 2 hours of Gableman's lawyer to get him off of calling the judge in court a lady with a beard. Is Frank Remington. He's not a lady with a beard, and he doesn't appreciate being called names. You see what I'm saying? He doesn't appreciate being called names, and he's the judge. Order in the court. Here come the judge. You're paying for it. But that's not enough. Voss did all of this, but a guy named Adam Steen is running against him, who's even more of a right-wing nut than Voss is. Just flat-out right-wing. And Trump endorsed Adam Steen. So, you know something? Next Tuesday, take a good look at Voss's race. You know, you suppose he'd win, but, you know, a lot of people have been attacking him. A lot of people, Nicholson, Senate candidate, attacked him. Michaels didn't name him, I don't think, but attacked him. Clayfish showed no gratitude whatsoever, even though Voss endorsed Clayfish and distanced herself. He is out there. If he gets bumped off by Adam Steen, you're going to have a right-wing firebrand in there, worse than Voss in that respect. And we'll see. Even if Voss wins, it's increasingly harder to see how he gets elected speaker again by his own caucus, even though they're gerrymandered and illegitimate themselves. We're going to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hey, good morning, Matt. Great show today. I don't know how a Trump endorsement would help anyone at this point. So I don't understand the Trump thing anymore. But can you tell me what's happening to the postmaster, DeJoy? Word is he wants to lay off like 50,000 or whatever it is. Postal.
Say that again, Paul. You cracked up a little bit. What's the question?
I'll make it quick. DeJoy, the postmaster, what's his status? He wants to lay off. I think it's 50,000 postal workers. That's it. If you've got anything on that, thanks, Matt.
Yeah, Paul's talking about Louis DeJoy. Louis DeJoy is the guy in the post office, and I've never understood why he still has a job because he, you know, he's Trump. And not only is he Trump, but he also is the guy that just before the 2020 elections shredded many sorting machines. Now, these sorting machines could sort high speed, I don't know, 30,000 pieces of mail an hour. And he did it in a lot of the big cities deliberately, in my view, so that ballots mailed wouldn't be delivered on time. In Pennsylvania, there was a law that said they had to come in, I think it was 3 days before the election or something. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court had an emergency hearing, and they said they're going to extend that because of the pandemic and because of voting machine or post office problems. And the Republicans howled, and they took it to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court did not overturn that. But DeJoy cannot be trusted around elections. And so what Paul is pointing out is DeJoy is saying now he's going to get rid of, what, 50,000? I don't know how many employees of the post office. For what purpose? Why right before the midterms? And this guy is bad news. Now, the president doesn't appoint DeJoy, but he appoints the postal board, which oversees DeJoy. And different vacancies arise on occasion. They have to be confirmed by the Senate, so Moscow Mitch can try to filibuster them, which he has in the past. But Moscow Mitch himself is the guy that got rid of the filibuster for Supreme Court appointments and for cabinet appointments. And Schumer could easily get rid of the filibuster for these kind of appointments in the postal board. Oh, wait a minute. That would require Manchin and Sinema, who say they won't get rid of the filibuster. You see what's going on? So this clown DeJoy is still there. And quite frankly, your only recourse right now is you go to federal court and say he's interfering with the election. Like, let's say he said, I'm going to close down the post office for the next 2 months. You'd think Moscow Mitch would start confirming people for the postal board who would fire him. You'd think. I don't believe that. I don't think he would. I think they would hurt the United States. They don't like unions. The postal workers have a great union. By the way, if you're looking for a job, a good job, go down to the main post office downtown Milwaukee, and they have posted jobs at very good wages and good benefits, health care, for all sorts of things. Some of them are mail carriers, you know, but some of them also are sorting mail and doing other things, and they need employees. They're hiring. Go down. It's a very, very good career, very good career. You make very good wages. You make money. Very, very good health care, pension, and everything else. So to answer Wisco Paul, what's happening with DeJoy? Nothing. So far, nothing. Because it requires the postal board to fire him. I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. Reminds me of Ernst Stavro Blofeld, the James Bond movies. Remember him, the bald guy petting the kitten? And then with a squeaky voice, and then he'd, very bad guy, Ernst Stavro Blofeld. It's not his fault how he looks, I get it. But he's the guy that shredded the voting sorting machines, and he said, well, I did it to save money. And they said, oh, you did, huh? Well, why didn't you sell those machines on the secondary market to, you know, advertising firms that mail out a lot of stuff? You could have made some money. He goes, I didn't think of that. He shredded those machines so that absentee ballots wouldn't get there on time. Coming to the end of the show, great show. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
So he starts to roam the streets at night, and he learns how to steal, and he learns how to fight in the ghetto. And then one night in desperation, the young man breaks away. He buys a gun, he steals a car, tries to run, but he don't get far, and his